This is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com.
And this is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and we'd like to welcome you back to the New World Next Week at NewWorldNextWeek.com, coming to you also via ParadigmShift.tv on Sky Channel 201. And I'd like to thank all the listeners and viewers for sticking with us during the hiatus that I was taking recently. Of course, as I mentioned before we went on break, I was taking some time off to deal with the loss of a family member, and I went back to Canada for the funeral during that time. And first off, let me say that thank you very much for all of those who left their sympathy and condolences, either through email or on comments on the YouTube channel or through messages. They were all very much appreciated during a very difficult time. And of course, during that time off, things have only become even more insane in the world, obviously talking about what's happening here in Japan. So I am ending the hiatus early, and I am back. There are already some interviews up on my CorbettReport.com, so please check them out. And just as a side note to all of the people, I'm still even getting some people emailing me to ask me how I'm doing. If there is ever any sort of disruption with the YouTube channel, please go to CorbettReport.com because the updates will be there. And so anyway, let's start to get back into things, and we're going to be covering the Japanese situation quite carefully. I'm going to be covering it a lot on CorbettReport.com over the coming weeks. Obviously, living here in Japan, I'm going to have firsthand access to a lot of things, so I'm going to try to do my best to report. And the podcast will be back this Sunday with a report on what caused the 3/11 earthquake. But right now, let's get into some stories that are going on in Japan and related to the Japanese crisis. James, what do you have up for us first?
I attempted to get some of the most recent and breaking news that I can. Of course, in a situation like this, things changing dramatically. And of course, it's difficult to find any one source that covers everything. But again, we provide the links for you and try and lay out the path for you guys to do more research for yourself. Just this morning, Sydney Morning Herald, cremation delayed as Japan buries disaster dead. Japan has begun burying some of its tsunami and earthquake victims in temporary mass graves because it does not have enough fuel for traditional cremations. With supplies of fuel dwindling, officials have abandoned cremation in favor of quick, simple burials in a show of pragmatism over tradition. Some are buried in bare plywood caskets, another is in blue plastic bags with no time to build proper coffins. The bodies will be dug up and cremated later, officials assured the families. If we skip down a little bit, and this is the area that perhaps folks in the Western world may not have known, I did not know this, that the city government said up to 1,000 bodies could be laid to rest at this site mentioned. Burial is unusual in Japan, where 99.9% of bodies are cremated. Cremation requires 50 liters of kerosene for a single corpse, and there is not enough available at present. Makeshift morgues are overwhelmed, and there's no dry ice to preserve the dead. James, some of the most recent numbers we're looking at in excess of 23,000, I believe.
That's right. The last I saw was 24,000 missing/dead. So this is a good story just to bring out the horrific nature of what's going on and to really point out one of the many things that people are dealing with right now. Obviously, the fact that they are foregoing cremations is not a big thing on this big scheme of things, but it is just another indicator of the scale of what's unfolded in northeastern Japan and the horrific scenes that are unfolding there. And I was on the Alex Jones Show earlier today talking about one image that I saw in the newspaper just yesterday about a kindergarten bus that was destroyed in the tsunami, and all the children on board were charred to death in a gasoline fire that erupted. And just horrific images like that are coming out on a daily basis. Also, some stories of hope, people still being pulled alive from the rubble miraculously after so many days. But it's just a tragedy of almost unthinkable proportions right now.
And I just saw that actually, and you may not even know this, James, those videos from your appearance earlier this morning on the Alex Jones Show were just uploaded to YouTube, and so folks can see those. And you hold up the photo, and it's, you know, I only listened and was able to watch the first few minutes, but it's, you know, it was already almost too much to even try and take on. So if we're somewhat adhering to our traditional format here on New World Next Week, where we typically go over three stories, we're going to try and do three kind of angles to this Japanese crisis. So for the second one, turns to more of the health issue, and we take this from the Telegraph. as Tokyo water has been deemed unsafe for children. Parents have been advised not to give children water from the city's taps after some samples contained more than double the legal limit of the hazardous substance. The discovery increases fears of food and water safety nearly 2 weeks now after the devastating earthquake and tsunami, which killed thousands and damaged a nuclear plant in Fukushima, leading to a radiation leak. James, again, you're so much closer to this, and the water, I'm sure, is only the beginning.
Well, unfortunately, that would seem to be the case right now. Of course, water is just being pumped out of the radioactive reactors directly into the Pacific Ocean. So obviously, the water around there is directly contaminated. And then, of course, we're getting further contamination from the fallout from this, obviously, in the region around the Fukushima plant and spreading all the way down to Tokyo now. Just very, very worrying, because obviously they're saying that these are within acceptable human health hazard levels right now. Of course, not for babies, so they don't recommend putting this water in baby formula and things like that. But they say that it's perfectly fine for adults at the moment. But of course, the point here is the bioaccumulation and the fact that it's not just going to be a one-off thing. It's going to be something that people are going to be having to deal with on a daily basis, and not only through water, but through milk, through leafy vegetables that are growing in that region, which is why, of course, milk and vegetables from that region have been stopped, shipments of it have been stopped. So it's unfortunately a crisis that's only, I can imagine, going to increase as the radiation continues to leak out from the plant, and we really won't know the effects of this until the dust has settled, either metaphorically or literally, and we have a chance to see how much damage has been done. But right now, it's a very, very worrying thing, especially being here in Japan and knowing that the majority of the food is coming through this supply line and will have been exposed to some amount of radiation, whether acceptable or not.
So our third area that we'll cover, and there are so many other areas and points, and perhaps we can quickly make those at the end. But from just earlier this morning from the Associated Press and posted on the Washington Post, Japan earthquake tsunami likely world's costliest natural disaster at up to $309 billion. Japan's government said the cost of the earthquake and tsunami that devastated the Northeast could reach $309 billion. The extensive damage to housing, roads, utilities, and businesses across seven prefectures has resulted in direct losses of between 16 trillion yen, or 198 billion, and 25 trillion yen, or the 309 billion. This, according to a cabinet office estimate Wednesday. The losses figure is considerably higher than other estimates. The World Bank on Monday said damage might reach 235 billion. Investment bank Goldman Sachs had estimated quake damage would be as much as 200 billion. If we jump down just a little bit, we will read another cabinet office economic report released Wednesday, and that is Wednesday, March 23rd, as it is here for me still in the States, underscore the new challenges facing Japan, which had been on the mend from a lull in growth late last year. The economy is moving toward recovery, but its self-sustainability is weak, this report said. More broadly, the Japanese economy has been lackluster for two decades, barely managing to eke out weak growth between slowdowns. It lost its position as the world's number two economy to China last year and is saddled with a massive public debt at 200% of the gross domestic product, is the biggest among industrialized nations. So, James, that's now the economic tie-in.
Right, absolutely. Well, after the physical tsunami, there's an economic tsunami to deal with, and it can have some rather surprising results. For example, last week the yen suddenly surged, and that was not something I was expecting, but I guess it makes sense as the Japanese investors are repatriating yen that have been invested out into dollars and other currencies, repatriating it in order to invest in the redevelopment going on here, so the yen strengthens. All sorts of things like that you wouldn't necessarily think of, but again, this is another thing that we'll have to wait and see how this plays out, because I mean, there are economic, I suppose, benefits to the idea of rebuilding and renewed investment and things coming in, but it's going to be obviously just taking a terrible toll on the Japanese economy, which is already suffering under an extreme debt burden. So we'll have to see. I believe that if any country in the world can rebound after something like this, it will probably be Japan, with the Japanese incredible resilience of the Japanese people. But it's going to be a very long and difficult process, and I think we're only beginning to really begin understand how much devastation has really happened here.
Let me quickly throw out a few points here in the Pacific Northwest. And of course, James, you and I are separated by the Pacific Ocean. As the radiation fears grew, the fear on the West Coast and, of course, the run on potassium iodide and all these things became, you know, quite an interesting angle to that. And I, of course, covered it on my podcast and will continue to cover it in the sort of Oregon and even a connection to my home state of West Virginia. And, of course, James, we also have all the other situations still going on in the world that have not stopped and have only continued to get worse. That, yes, of course, we now here in the States have our third illegal war of aggression based on lies that we've launched. And the only sort of joke I've made, as we sometimes have to laugh to not cry, is that it's really convenient that we launched, you know, another war, at least on the anniversary of one of our previous wars. It kind of makes them easy to, we can lump them all together. James, I have to ask the question, or at least put out the thought that I know maybe lots of other folks are thinking, what made you go back to Japan so quickly?
Well, I mean, it was just, I was scheduled to come back, and it's one of those decisions you have to make. Are you going to cut and run and leave everything you have and everyone you know behind, or are you going to go back and face what's happening along with 120 other million people, human souls inhabiting this island? So it was a decision that I made. I don't know at this point whether it's a good decision to make or not, but I just don't want to imagine that this island is now an uninhabitable nuclear wasteland, and I don't want to give up on all of my Japanese friends and family and loved ones. So if whatever's happening here, I guess I'm part of it, and I'm going to be here trying to bring the information out to people. But I need your help. I need the help of people out there to give links and resources and interview suggestions and all sorts of things, because I'm doing the best I can, but I'm only one man. And I am only one man, so if I don't, if I'm not able to get back to everyone individually, I hope you'll forgive that. But I'm just going to have to do the best I can right now and try to provide information in this very difficult time.
Well, I mean, as I think most folks have said, our thoughts, our prayers, our good vibes, our well wishes, all of those things go out to you, man. And it's so good to see you and again be here on the line and talking with you. So I appreciate it.
Well, it's good to be here, and it's good to be talking with you again, and I certainly hope people will stay tuned to MediaMonarchy.com for not only more about the Japanese situation, but of course all of the other craziness that's going on, and I hope people will stay tuned to CorbettReport.com for a lot more on the Japanese situation in depth over the coming weeks. So thank you once again, James Evan Pilato.
Thank you, sir. Take care.